Hey, happy Thursday, everybody. It's Rich Birch from the Unseminary Podcast, and today's episode you're going to love. It's all about the next generation and why we should be caring about the next generation, and that reminds me of today's sponsor, Radical Mentoring. Getting men to move is hard. You know that. I know that. Most churches can get them to show up to events or maybe even attend a Bible study or a small group, but there's a sense there has got to be more participation, more depth, more passion, more commitment. Well, Radical Mentoring could be the answer for you and your church to get men more engaged. It's an intentional men's small group mentoring process based on Jesus's mentoring approach. Radical Mentoring is designed to engage the older, wiser men in your church and leverage their life experience to activate the untapped potential of the young, hungry men sitting in your pews. Listen, what I'd love for you to do is to reach out to radicalmentoring.com/unseminary to learn more. The cost of this is absolutely nothing. Thanks to men and churches who have been impacted by Radical Mentoring, these resources are being made available to you for free. It's incredible. So what I want you to do is to go to radicalmentoring.com/unseminary to create an account, and you'll not only gain access to all the resources to get you started, but a real-life Radical Mentoring guide to answer the questions and walk you through the process. It's amazing. I would love for you to drop by, get to know them today. Again, radicalmentoring.com/unseminary. Well, let's pivot into our episode and really talk all about next generation. Let's go.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich. I am so glad that you have tuned in today, and you are going to be rewarded for that. We've got Zach Matchett today. Zach is the fifth and sixth grade pastor of an incredible church, Northview Church. This is one of those churches you should be tracking along. It has been, you know, named as one of the fastest growing churches in the country. They have seven campuses all across Indiana, plus partners with God Behind Bars. This is an incredible church. Zach, welcome to the show.
Man, Rich, I'm so glad to be here and honored just to hang out. Thank you so much for letting me be here.
No, I'm so glad to have you here too. And I, like I've often joked before, you know, the best leaders come from student and kids ministry. So I'm looking forward to
That'll preach, Rich.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, and I know I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I say that another. Well, so looking forward to learning from you today and leaning in. I really do think folks who are listening in, this is going to be a really practical episode and probably a bit thought-provoking for you at your church. Why don't we start with kind of telling us a little bit about Northview? Give us a sense of, you know, if people were to arrive today, and then tell us about your role at the church.
Yeah, so I came to staff at Northview 5.5 years ago, and I had heard about Northview. I was working part-time at another church in the Indianapolis area, and I knew of Northview's reputation, and I was we were at a pretty interesting season of life, my wife and I, of just kind of in transition and looking to get back into full-time ministry. And so being a part of Northview, the first year that I was at Northview, we opened our third campus in Fishers, Indiana, which is in Hamilton County, just on the north side of Indianapolis. And that was when the multi-site kind of strategy really started to boost up for Northview in terms of opening new campuses. And so I actually joined as the student worship pastor. So I was actually leading worship ministry for 5th through 12th grade at our broadcast campus, which is in Carmel, Indiana. And shortly, about a year and a half into that, we called an audible and I became the middle school pastor. And then I actually took on more of a teaching role, which I really, really enjoyed doing. And so I oversaw 5th through 8th grade. And then 5th and 6th grade ministry just took on a life of its own. So it's during that year, it just really took off, and we really felt that it needed some full-time oversight. And we may get into the reason why here in a little bit of the importance, I think, of 5th and 6th grade ministry or that preteen ministry world. And so about 3 years ago, that was when I jumped in full-time 5th and 6th grade ministry. And so I am technically a Carmel campus staff member, but I'm kind of setting vision, casting vision and resourcing and writing curriculum for all of our campuses. And so our student pastors at those campuses are kind of executing things that I'm doing, but we certainly collaborate. But I'm kind of pushing the ball down the field for 5th and 6th grade ministry at Northview. if people show up at Northview, I mean, we're a church that helps people connect with God and people with people. And it's a big church that feels small. And our multi-site strategy has really accomplished a huge thing, which is that we've gotten bigger and gotten smaller at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you know the multi-site world well, Rich. Mm-hmm. And so we have campuses that are a few thousand to campuses that are a couple of hundred. And we're one church, multiple locations. And I love that vision. I love that feel. And man, student ministry, we've really had to kind of catch up of how to be multi-site in student ministry as well.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to diving in here. One of the reasons why, from a multi-site point of view, you know, I've often said that actually, in a lot of ways, multi-site is terrible for student ministry, particularly because, you know, in other ages, kids ministry and adult ministry, the whole critical mass issue isn't really as big an issue. So, you know, if you have 50 adults in a room or 100 adults in a room, it's not like it feels twice as good to those adults. Mm-hmm. But if you have if you have 50 students in the room and 100 students in the room, it's like five times better.
Yes.
And by definition, multi-site is kind of paring things down, making them smaller. That's what it does. It, you know, we're kind of carving out to ultimately see expansion. And so I'm looking forward to kind of digging into that.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, why don't we talk about the 5th-6th transition particularly? Why don't you kind of walk us through what were you guys seeing at Northview that led you to the place where you said, hey, I think we need to pull that out as a unique thing? Because I think what the dynamics that you experience there, a lot of our churches are experiencing, or, you know, there may be leaders who are listening in today who don't realize they're experiencing those dynamics.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the issues that we're experiencing at Northview with the preteen world are going to be unique to us. I think yes. This is a common struggle no matter what church you're at. And just to piggyback on the point you made earlier about multi-site being difficult for students and kids, our team was hanging out with Kurt Johnston over at Saddleback earlier this year, and he said nobody goes multi-site to reach more teenagers. Mm-hmm. So it's a little more exaggerated maybe, but the byproduct is that you can reach more teenagers. And so we just leaned into the tension of that, just simply put. As how it's fleshed out with 5th and 6th grade ministry, I kind of inherited the ministry kind of as is. Kurt Broadbeck, who's our family pastor at Northview, he served in the middle school role before making that transition. And he just came to the conclusion, you know, we've got this youth facility at our Carmel campus, and we don't do any student programming during weekend services for 7th through 12th grade. And so if we weren't doing anything, the youth building was just going to sit empty, or the youth room at our other campuses. And so it's like, man, this 5th and 6th grade thing could be a really unique niche for us, because we could use the environment of our student ministry to give them a difference from kids ministry, but to also tailor the programming to specifically fit the unique needs of 5th and 6th graders. And I think the tension that a lot of churches feel is that, well, where do we put them? You know, what mm-hmm. what room are they in? You know, they might hear, oh, the environment needs to be different, or it needs to be different than kids ministry because they're checked out in kids ministry. And so how do we do that? And we just try to be good stewards, because if we weren't going to have any 5th and 6th grade programming, there wasn't going to be any student ministry programming during the weekend services. And so for us, we have what I would call a large group, small group model all in one. We're at a table group model, which means that at any of our campuses, we immediately put 5th and 6th grade kids into a small group that's weekly, has a consistent leader, and consistently the same students in the group each week. At our larger campuses, we can get as nailed down as all the grades are definitely by same grade and same gender. But at some of the larger campuses, we may even break it down by school system. So it's, you know, you have a 5th grade Noblesville boys group, or a 6th grade Carmel Middle School girls group, or whatever. And we see 5th and 6th grade ministry as the onboarding ramp for small group ministry, for student ministry, period, because these groups will move on together. In 7th grade, the groups start meeting in homes. We separate the large group and life group for middle school and high school. So 5th and 6th grade, they kind of get the large group teaching, worship, all the fun elements of a student ministry, but they're sitting at their tables. So they're actually not sitting in rows of chairs and dismissing to a small group time. They're already with their group the whole time. And so—
Oh, even during the large group experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's really easy for me to, you know, to do a message and then say, hey, let's debrief this in our groups. And they just kind of turn their chairs around. They're already there. And so
Interesting.
It's a really cool model. We found a lot of success with it. And it's been able to be scalable and replicated at our campuses, because even if you have smaller groups of maybe 10 to 12 students, at the very least you can do guys and girls if you have enough leaders. Right. As you get bigger, then you could do, okay, let's do fifth grade boys, fifth grade girls, sixth grade boys, sixth grade girls. And then as you grow and expand, then you can kind of geographically, that's kind of our motto is, you know, grade, gender, geography in terms of how we separate our groups. And so as that's progressed and as we've done that at the multi-sites, we've seen a lot of success with it. And I think that fifth and sixth grade is the most formative time spiritually for a teenager. That ages 11 to 14, I think research says it's like the second most formative time in the span of a human other than the first 2 years of life.
Wow.
And so we're trying to dive in and capitalize on that that time frame.
Yeah, tell us more about that. I think, you know, that to me is at the hub of why a church should be really looking at this shift. You know, tell us more about, you know, why you see that as such a critical piece.
Yeah, I think that for us, and maybe even me specifically, I think I believe that kids are getting older, younger.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Like,
yep.
I think the idea of this, and there's a lot of research out there about this thing called extended adolescence, where like young adults act like teenagers until like their mid-20s, you know?
Yes.
But I think on the front end, we're seeing kids, and I think there's a lot of contributing factors to this, culture, social media, all kinds of things. But kids are getting older, younger. And so the idea of kids ministry, in a lot of kids ministries, and probably for a lot of your listeners, that could be, you know, you could have all elementary together, like kindergarten through fifth grade, or even kindergarten through sixth grade, because some school systems still keep sixth graders in elementary, and they don't actually become middle school until they're in seventh grade. And so that, I think, is what's leading to a lot of kids, and I'm sure this is, you know, an age-old problem for a lot of the churches that are listening in, is that why are our older elementary kids or even preteen kids just totally checked out during kids ministry? And so for us, we just thought, you know, this is too important of a time for many reasons. I think cognitively, a lot is changing. Obviously, hormonally, a lot is changing. Emotionally, a lot is changing. The way they develop friendships is changing. They begin to start thinking abstractly and not as concretely. That's huge. That's huge. Like, and I think these are the beginning steps of them having their own unique faith expression. It's the season of life where I believe that many of, especially church kids, kids that grew up in church, that have a lot of upbringing in that, they have to really answer the question, do I believe in mom and dad's God?
Right.
Like, do I have, and do I believe in it? If I don't, why not? And if I do, what's my own unique faith expression? I share the story a lot. I had a sixth grade student tell me a few years ago, in a small group setting, he said, you know, I think I should start living for Jesus every day.
And wow.
I kind of stopped and I was like, tell me more about that. And he's like, well, I just, you know, I do it here at youth group, but like, I think I should do it like when I'm playing sports and when I'm at school and with my teachers and my friends. And I remember thinking in that moment, if I'm a small group leader and I hear, you know, I should start living for Jesus every day, some small groups or leaders are going to be like, oh, that's wonderful. Oh my gosh, that is absolutely right. And some small group leaders are going to be like, of course, are you crazy? That's like the point of the whole Bible, you know, just and kind of look at them cross-eyed. But for the students in this age group, that is a novel idea. That is
a light bulb moment.
Idea. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's incredible. I love that. And that, you know, there's that kind of honesty of kids at that age, right, where they're exploring and kind of stepping out and trying to become, you know, their own people. And I just love that. I think that's amazing.
That's right, yeah.
I think there are, you know, maybe church leaders that are listening in today who maybe they're an executive pastor. They're not actually in kids ministry. It'd be good to go and, you know, talk with your kids ministry people and say, like, if kids ministry in your church runs all the way up through sixth grade or all the way up through fifth grade, I've often said, you know, the one of the hardest kind of, you know, people to communicate is a fifth grade boy in an elementary, you know, large group environment, right?
Yeah.
They look around and they're like, I'm not sure I'm really into the singing and dancing we're doing here. Like, this is...
Yeah, I'm tired of doing the motions to all these dumb songs I don't like, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like that, you can see that on kids' faces. They stand at the back of the room and disengage and, you know, how do we get those kids plugged in? I just think that's amazing. Now, why don't we pivot a little bit and talk about communication specifically? Because a part of what you do is communicate to this group, which I got to say, when you get to heaven, you're going to get a gold star because, you know, getting up in front of... you know, students on a regular basis takes a lot of time, you know, and it's, you know, it's a skill for sure. What have you learned through that process? How have you kind of learned to shape your communication, communicating with this age group or middle school and high school more specifically?
Yeah. If I was being completely honest, I'd say just come back and ask me in like 10 more years. I might have it known by then, maybe 20.
Yes.
No, to be truthful, I am learning a lot. I had a lot of student ministry experience before I came to Northview, but it was mostly with high school students. Right. And so this was the youngest age group that I'd ever worked with. And I remember when I made the switch to being the middle school pastor. So this is before I went full-time with fifth and sixth grade. So this is probably one of my first few weekends teaching to fifth and sixth grade students. I remember I was doing a message about surrendering our life to God and kind of trying to find common examples of what that looked like. And I felt really good about it. And I felt like the kids were pretty dialed in. And I was like, okay, well, this is going a little better than expected. Because I really felt like, how am I going to – and I hate to use the phrase dumb down because I feel like that's such a patronizing thing to say. But how do I tailor the message to this specific age group? So I get off stage and my wife is there and she comes up to me and she goes, hey, you did a great job. And I was like, thank you so much. And she said, but I really think you need to not use as many big words next time. And I thought to myself – I said, what? I really thought I worked on that. Like, I don't think I used any big words at all, sweetie. And she goes, well, no, like a word like surrender. And I was like, surrender, what do you mean? And she's like, come on. Do you think any fifth grade boy knows the spiritual implications of like surrendering their life? Like that might be a vocabulary word they have in school, but they don't have. And when I heard that, that was like a huge light bulb moment for me. And this is why our spouses just can really minister to us for those that are married. Because they're able to hear things and see things and give us a good perspective. So for me, I thought, okay, I've got to dial in a little bit more into their verbiage and explain things in a way that they can kind of interface with. And so I started to make some changes and I realized like, I think these guys need small bites to chew. We're in a small group setting. And so if I can just give them one idea, then they can flesh that out at the tables. Because really my role on the team, Rich, for fitness sixth grade ministry is that I can lead the leaders well. That's a principle that I think applies to a lot of different ministries. And so how do I set these small group leaders to win? And how do I set up the students to have good conversation? So I came up with this thing called the take-home point. I call it THP. And so it was just one statement, one idea, one question. And so during the message, every single message that we do now at all of our campuses, even the ones that I'm not teaching, because I write the message scripts for the other student pastors, but they do the same thing is, you know, here's a THP, guys, and we read it out loud. And even at Carmel, where I'm teaching at, I'll say, everybody say THP, and they'll say THP back. And I'll say, what does THP stand for? Take home point. And it's just one idea. And so there's a challenge to memorize it, you know, and that's a big emphasis, I think, in kids ministry is that did you remember the memory verse or did you memorize the Bible story idea or whatever it is, the bottom line, whatever it's called. So there's a recitation piece. But then when they go to their small groups, I thought, okay, it's great that they remember it, but what's the next step? Why is it important? Who cares? why is this important in my life? So the first small group question to every single weekend that we meet, the first question that small group leaders ask the kids is, what was the THP and why was it important to the message? Mm. And it immediately primes the pump to say, okay, it's great that you remembered it, but why was it important? This year specifically, well, first of all, once we did that, I was like, I started to get some traction. I felt like with conversations being very fruitful at the table because it forced the kids to get beyond this God, Jesus, Church, Bible. That's the universal four answers to every question in Sunday school. You know, it moved them past that. You had to because the small group leader said, why? Right. Why is it important? This year, I added a closing small group question because now I feel like, okay, they said what it was. The why, or the you know that the recitation is the what, the why is the rationale, but what is the personalization of it? So my question to them at the end of the small group time is, how will the THP help me to live differently this week?
Mm, oh, that's good.
And so to put skin on it, if you will, and I think it's been a good change for us. And so to circle back to the original idea of how do we help this particular age group, I remember hearing Mark Ostreicher say. Yeah, just recently on a podcast, he said, the external processing of a belief is just as important as the accuracy of a belief for middle school students.
Now, oh, that's good.
I'm not anti-accuracy and neither is Mark. Yes, right. We want to be theologically accurate, but at this point in their life, they've got to talk this out. They've got to process it externally. And I would say that those two things have really helped us hone in and to tailor the programming, but ultimately to help these kids really chew on their faith and to work on it through conversation. That is so, so important.
That's amazing. Now, you had mentioned this earlier. I wonder if you can reflect on, you know, young people at this age are transitioning from concrete to abstract thinking, right? Like they're in this kind of, this amazing thing is going on in their brain. a couple of things you talked about there actually push towards that. It's actually a fairly sophisticated thought to think, I just came up with this take-home point today. This is what we're talking about. And how is that going to apply to my life in 3 days? That actually takes a fairly big, stretch of the brain.
No doubt.
But are there other ways that transition that's going on in a fifth and sixth grader, impacts the way you communicate with them?
Yeah, I think just a good, maybe an example can help enlighten this a little bit. One of our veteran small group leaders, this was the second weekend of our school year. We do an opening series that basically just, we call it, We Are Northview Students. It's just our core values. We talk about the importance of worshiping weekly, the importance of being in a small group, those types of things. And so I did a whole week on what the gospel is. And so the THP was, the gospel says we're saved by grace. And so just to talk about the theology of the cross and the resurrection and what the gospel says about our sin and blah, 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 a typical gospel presentation message. At the closing small group time, when they got to the question of how will the THP help me to live differently this week, one of our small group leaders was kind of struggling to get the kids to really think about that. And he goes, guys, listen, when we experience God's grace, it's not just for us, it's meant for other people too. And so who can you be gracious to this week?
Oh, wow.
Who can you give the same gospel of grace? How can you give the grace that's in the gospel to other people? And he came up and he told me about that afterwards. And I was just like, yes, 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 yes. That, because these kids need almost like hypotheticals, even if they're not actually living that particular situation. Like when I communicate, I'll say, maybe for you, it's this situation. Maybe you have a really tough time with this particular teacher at school, or you have a really tough time getting along with your brother and sister, or maybe you always feel like you have to try to live up to the expectations of others or your family when you're playing sports or doing school or band or orchestra or whatever. And you almost like try to give them a lot of hypotheticals so they can go, hey, I can see myself in that situation. Like to me, that seems more abstract and concrete. In addition, they can do kind of third person thinking, like how will somebody else view me if I do X, Y, or Z? They begin to, it's like third person thinking is seeing yourself from another person's perspective. That's there. They just don't know that they can do it yet.
Right.
We have to prime the pump. And so I think by asking, how will this challenge me to live differently even this week versus just in general, it makes them, it kind of forces them to think of an example immediately of what they can do. And to me, these are the building blocks of incarnational Christ-like living. And so if that's not going to happen, in a safe space, which I hope our small groups are a safe space, so they can wrestle with these. They can ask hard questions. They can figure this out, but they've got a caring leader that can do it with them. And man, can you imagine, Rich, if all of our churches, if every preteen and middle school student had an invested adult caring about them that allowed them to ask those questions and didn't look cross-eyed at them when they expressed doubt, man, like that would be a game changer. I think the church is only as safe as what someone's brave enough to admit.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
So, and we talked about that with our team after hearing a presentation from Tom Shefchunas, great student ministry leader. And he kind of had an illustration that helped us think through that. And that really challenged me. It's like, man, our small groups, they should be the safest space to ask those questions and to process that. And if our leaders are dialing in with that, man, that can really help these students kind of take off and build a really strong, healthy foundation for their faith.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Why don't we talk a little bit about, you've mentioned kind of small group leaders throughout this experience. Why don't we kind of pull back the onion a little bit on that? Obviously at the tables, you've got small group leaders. Do those small group leaders just follow students through fifth and sixth, or do they continue on? Where are you finding these small group leaders? How important is that in the overall kind of what you're doing developmentally with students? Give us a sense of that experience.
Yeah, So our model is we would love ideally to have every small group for fifth and sixth grade at the tables to have one adult and one high school student co-leading the group.
Cool.
So at our campus at Carmel, we have 90 small group leaders, 40 of them are high school students.
That's great.
And so for me, the huge win of that is you have an adult and a high school student leading the group together. The kids, it's hard for them to imagine what it's like to be the age of their adult small group leader, because it's hard for them to imagine what it's like to be the age of their parents. And usually the adults leading the group are probably the age of their parents. But it's actually not hard for them to imagine what it's like to be the age of a high school student. And so that high school student's influence is enormous, enormous. And so I think many of our students have grown up through the fifth and sixth grade program, and now they get to come back and give back to these students. I remember asking two sophomore girls a couple of years ago, they were in a life group together, And the one was like, I'm thinking about helping out in sixth grade. So the other one's like, yeah, it sounds fun. So they did it together. So they went through the application process, and I met with them one day. And I asked them, I said, do you remember your high school leader when you were in fifth and sixth grade? And they're like, oh, yeah, it was Haley. Mm. And I said, what kind of impact did Haley make on you? And they began to share or whatever. And Haley's now graduated, married, you know, living her own life, you know. And they said, we want to be somebody else's Haley. Wow. And I thought, I was like, that's the best marketing that I could possibly – I could just put that in a postcard and send it, yes. send it out. And that would be – I would have to do any promotion. And that just shows the enormous influence of a high school student. But in addition to that, the adult can mentor the high school student as well. So to me, it's like – it's just a win-win everywhere. Now, as far as recruiting and how we get them and all that, to me, small groups for Northview students, for our student ministry, it's the lifeblood of what we do. We one of our staff values of student ministry is – circles are better than rows. They borrow that old Annie Stanley phrase. That's where we believe real growth can happen. So we actually give the option to our small group leaders, our adult small group leaders. They can start with a group in fifth grade, go into sixth grade, and at the end of their sixth grade year, they have the option of continuing on with them. Or they can, based on scheduling, or if they just really feel called to this age group, they can take a new group and start for 2 years. And 2 years is a long time with the group. And so even in a two-year span, they can have a lot of influence. But a lot of leaders move on. They go within seventh and eighth and then into ninth grade. Rich, we've had leaders start with a fifth grade table group and graduate them from high school.
Yeah.
It's like the same spiritual influence for 8 years, like 10 to 18, ages 10 to 18. That's a huge influence. And so maybe we can get into the nuts and bolts how I recruit another time. But if you start casting that vision and people feel like, man, I can have a tribe and a little group to mentor and disciple, and the idea of consistently staying with them, I think that's really appealing for a lot of people.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and I'm going to get choked up even saying this. Both my son and daughter have had amazing small group leaders through their, you know, their middle school and high school experience. Particularly my son, he has had that experience of, you know, two guys who've been through that whole experience. Well, he started volunteering a number of years ago when he was in. Well, he's volunteered for a lot of time, but when he was early in high school, freshman, he was volunteering in our elementary program, mm-hmm. and yeah. has now followed that same group of kids. Now he's a junior. He's followed that same group of kids. Now they're up in to middle school, and you know, on his own, he said to me, you know, Dad, I really hope I can follow these guys further. Like how far can I go? Like, you know, depending on when I get into university and all that. And, you know, which is incredible. And, you know, that, you know, for, it's amazing for the students that he's obviously tracking with, but it's also amazing for him to have that kind of longer, you know, trajectory. And all he's doing is exactly what you're saying. He's modeling, he's just going on what he's seen modeled.
That's right. You know, he's being present with the kid, and someone was present for him. That totally makes
absolutely.
Sense.
Absolutely. And Kyle, his one small group leader, like he was the guy that would just show up at our house or, you know, like, hey, we're going to play video games or like, hey, we're, you know, and just a really great leader who was, you know, kind of the next step away. He was a university student and then a kind of young college and career at, you know, when he was in you know, early high school. So it's amazing. It's incredible to see. And so, and I don't want leaders to miss that. I think sometimes we can look at, you know, we can come to a ministry like Northview and be like, get all excited about like the fun side of the environments and all that stuff and miss actually the heart of it all, which a lot of times is driven around ultimately, you know, just really this whole small group ministry piece.
That's right. Sure. If I could just jump in here just real quick. I'd love to use the example of your son, because if you're out there listening, like teenagers could be great small group leaders. If they are well-trained and they, because listen, and we're kind of romanticizing it maybe a little bit, obviously in the trenches, it can be very difficult, but I say our small group leaders, this is a show up season of life for these kids, because, and they'll tell me like, man, this discussion went nowhere today. It's just like, oh, I can't keep doing this. You know, for every 6 weeks of that, you'll have the 1 week.
Yeah, that's very good.
You want to know why the 1 week happened? Because you had 6 weeks of shenanigans. You sowed relational equity for 6 weeks of shenanigans. And guess what? The kids were like, hey, he's still around, or hey, he's still around. I'm telling you, that builds credibility so fast. And high school students can show up and be there. And so when a kid is going through a tough time or just somebody needs someone to sit down with them and play video games, who do you think is going to fit the bill? Yeah. If you're a parent, you need to have, I would say, 4 to 5 adults or outside influences speaking into the life of your kid, because the influence is enormous.
widen the circle.
That's no doubt.
And our church has the same similar kind of model. He's with an adult leader. They're kind of co-leading together. And it's amazing to see that. It's because, you know, there are times when I'm like, yeah, I'm glad he's doing that. I'm also glad there's adult in the room
to help. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, which is a good thing. Anything else? This has been great. I think there's people are listening in today, and hopefully it's turning on some light bulbs around particularly this age group and why it's so important. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we move on with the rest of the episode?
I would just simply say just to get with your team and your, what's your volunteers or your staff and try to think about what could we do for older elementary or early middle school, you know, I would say around that fourth, fifth, sixth grade time frame. And how can we lean into that age group? How can we lean in? How can we change the environment of where they meet, the programming? Maybe we need to start doing small groups, or maybe we just need to keep our Sunday school thing going, but ask some probing questions, or separate guys and girls. There's a lot of tangible steps you could take, but just have a conversation about it and just lean into that and see what God can do and how he can work and how to reach this age group. Because I'm telling you, very formative time. 85% of kids that make a decision for Christ do so before they're 14 years of age. So
that's amazing.
This is critical.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show. Super excited to have Zach with us today from Northview Church. Just incredible church, and I've loved this conversation. Appreciate you being here today,
Zach. You're welcome.
What's an online resource that you're using these days that's helping you do what you do?
Oh, man. Well, we use something here at Northview that I think has been helpful called SharePoint. It's just a resource that allows us to send out anything from staff-wide memos to attaching documents and uploading videos. And it's kind of a resource through Microsoft, but it's been a pretty helpful thing. We can upload staff minutes to it. And so if our central lead team meets, they post the minutes on there, and we can kind of get clued into what's happening within the church. And there's a lot of particulars to it, but that's kind of a simple answer. Not anything groundbreaking, but
that's great
for our church.
Well, I think the important thing to underline there is, you know, it's a solution outside of email that is helping you collaborate.
Right.
I think so many times we just think about email.
Yeah.
SharePoint is a great solution to help kind of team collaboration, big time for sure. What's a book you've read in the last 6 months to a year that's shaping your thinking and ministry?
Well, I'm gonna recommend one specifically for preteen ministry, and that's Caught in Between by Dan Scott. Dan's a head of children's and preteen curriculum at Orange. A great guy. Just had the chance to meet him here in the last couple of months. We actually hosted the Orange tour at Northview a couple weeks ago, and I got a chance to spend some time with Dan. If you are thinking about making any changes to preteen ministry, you got to get that book. It's just a really, really great nuts and bolts, good stuff in there. As far as just personal, I've been reading Hidden Christmas by Tim Keller because I got a Christmas series coming up, and I just that's not the reason I'm reading it. I mean, I want to get the resources, but it's a fantastic book. It's been really, really good for me. And I think about it, Christmas. It's like we can't screw Christmas up, right? Can we, Rich? Can Christmas up?
People know the punchline. People know the punchline.
I know. Yeah, and I'm like, it's like the biggest softball we can throw right down the middle of the plate for people to hit, but that book's really challenged me to relook at Matthew and Luke's account of the birth of Christ. And it's been really, really good. Tim Keller is outstanding. So there you go.
Very cool. Very cool. Fantastic. What's another ministry you're looking at that inspires you think they're doing a good job?
I'm excited about this one because it's actually a website that I'd love for you to, it's a ministry that has a website, ministryboost.com. This came across, speaking of email, my email, and our family pastor, Kurt, said, hey, I jumped onto this Zoom call with some other next-gen family ministry leaders around our country with Ministry Boost. So we hopped on there, and they ask a lot of questions. It's like, what's your role? Do you have people underneath you that report to you? How big is your church? Are you a multi-site or not? Are you middle school specifically? Are you high school ministry specific? Are you kids ministry? And so you answer all these questions. They gather all this intel, and then they set up a Zoom call with leaders that are specific to your context around the country. Mm-hmm. And then they give topics like how to do small group ministry better, or how to reach kids that seem disengaged in your church, or how to all kinds of things. And it was all kind of good intel. And I jumped into one of those Zoom calls, and it was like I was talking to people that spoke my language, that were in similar contexts, that were in the similar age group I was working with, and it was really outstanding. And so I any ministry leader, you need to check out ministryboost.com. They are doing outstanding stuff.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We'll check that out, definitely. If you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would you want to get that with, and why?
I'm gonna pick two people you've never heard of, Rich. Andy Stanley and Tim Keller.
Some obscure folks.
No, another really easy answer. Andy Stanley, just for his practical ministry and leadership principles. In my very brief interactions with Andy, he's an outstanding person off the stage as well. And I'm so thankful for that. And just his ability to help lead leaders, I would say many of your listeners have been affected by his ministry in a positive way. And Tim Keller, for me, I just love the way that he teaches and his holistic thinking about theology and identity and work and ministry. And I love the way that he speaks. I love the way he teaches an unchurched world. I think that's why Redeemer was so successful and is still successful for many, many years in New York City. And so I really learn a lot from both of those guys. And my wife says I have pastor crushes on both of them. And I would say that is probably an accurate statement. But they have been two humongous influences. And I hope I get at some point the opportunity to tell them how much they've meant to me, because they've
been fantastic. Have you read Andy's new book, Irresistible? Have you started that yet?
I got a copy coming in the mail, because we actually hosted Andy for the Irresistible Tour with Orange. And so I got to hear a lot of the unpacking of that material. Again, I've said this a lot. If you're a church leader, you got to read it. You got to lean into it. He's saying some really good stuff.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great, particularly like you say, for communicators, I think it's a must read for sure. Well, that's great. I can imagine being a fifth and sixth grade pastor takes a lot of effort and energy. When you just kick back and relax, want to do something for fun, what do you do for fun there?
As far as hobbies, one of the things that we have at Northview's Carmel campus, we actually have an 18-hole disc golf course. And I've found that while I'm not a good disc golfer, I enjoy disc golfing. And so, I haven't done it recently here, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I love getting out there and outside in the fall or in the spring and playing. It's just a time for me to have some silence, but also play with some friends, but also to be on this amazing property that God has given us at one of our campuses in Carmel. And just great. And a lot of people come and use the course throughout the week and during the day. So there's a lot of people coming onto our property that maybe don't even come to our church. That's cool. The reason I'm not able to play as often here is that I really spend a lot of time with my family. We are in the trenches of parenting, Rich. Lauren and I have been married for 7 years. We have three kids. Addie is our oldest. She's three. And then we have twins, Luke and Emily, who are 16 months. And
My goodness. Three kids under three.
That, by the way, that's a great conversation starter and also a great conversation killer. It's like, oh, three kids. Oh my goodness. What's that like? Or then you say, hey, I have three kids under the age of three. It's just like, oh, well, that's nice. And they look at you kind of like, stop having kids. Just stop where you're at. It's the conversation starter and the killer all at the same time. But no, we spend a lot of time with them, and obviously they're at a very dependent stage of life. And so you'll find us at the zoo or at the local kids' place or, you know, splash pad or whatever, because we're with our kiddos.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, Zach, I appreciate you being on the show. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church, what's the best way for them to do that?
Probably the best way is our website, northviewchurch.us. All of our email addresses are just our first and last name with a dot in the middle. So zach.matchett@northviewchurch.us. I'd love to connect with people that may be thinking about preteen ministry or fifth and sixth grade ministry or whatever. And I'd love to hear what you guys are doing and learn from you. And if there's anything we could do to help you guys learn as well, that'd be great. But that's probably the most accessible way to reach out to us.
Perfect. Zach, I appreciate being on the show today. Thanks, man.
Rich, thank you for having me. And thank you for your ministry and doing this for church leaders. I just think it's super crucial. So thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch, or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.